भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 23 एंटाइटल्ड द सॉन्ग ऑफ द अवंती ब्राह्मण वर्स नंबर 3। न तथा तप्यते विद्धा पुमान बाणैस्तु मर्मगैः यथा तु दन्ति मर्मस्था ह्यसतां पुरुषेशवः। न तथा तप्यते विद्धा पुमान बाणैस्तु मर्मगैः यथा तु दन्ति मर्मस्था ह्यसतां पुरुषेशवः। न तथा तप्यते विद्धा पुमान बाणैस्तु मर्मगैः यथा तु दन्ति मर्मस्था ह्यसतां पुरुषेशवः परुषेशवः। Not tatha in the same way tapyate is caused pain, vidha pierced, puman a person, banaihi by arrows, tu however, marmagaihi going to the heart, yatha as, tudanti prick, marmastha, attaching within the heart, he, indeed, asatam, of evil persons, parusha, harsh words, ishavaha, the arrows. Translation: sharp arrows which pierce one's chest and reach the heart do not cause as much suffering as the arrows of harsh words, harsh insulting words that become lodged within the heart when spoken by uncivilized men. There is no purport here. We'll take one more verse. Kathayanti mahatpunyam itihasami hoddhava na tamaham varnayishyami nibodha susamahitah. My dear Uddhava, in this regard, a most pious story is told, and I shall now describe it to you. Please listen with careful attention. Purport. The Lord will now relate to Uddhava a historical account which teaches how to tolerate the insults of others. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this is the beginning of the very interesting story of Avanti Brahman that Lord Krishna is going to describe to Uddhava. This is the story of how a person with his determination and mind control can overcome all problems in life. So here Krishna is talking about the effects of harsh speech that can have on one's consciousness. He says, he compares sharp arrows, sharp words to sharp arrows that can pierce the heart and cause great pain and wounds. So, how Avanti Brahman had to face such sharp insulting words from his family members, friends and relatives. That's what is described in this chapter. And how he overcame that pain with philosophical introspection. That's the lesson we need to learn from this chapter. So, one great thinker has said, how the effect of harsh speech. He says, speak when you are angry and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. And that's the effect of harsh speech. And Krishna says in the Gita about austerity of speech, famous verse, anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. So Krishna says, Vangmayam Tapa, it is austerity of speech, which means speaking softly, politely, pleasingly doesn't come naturally to everyone, doesn't come automatically to everyone. It is a virtue that one has to cultivate with practice, with determination. So whenever we have to communicate with others, we need to choose our words right. Therefore Krishna gives these guidelines. Anudvega karam vakyam. Satyam priyahitam chayat. So in our today's high-tech world, we don't get to meet everyone individually if we have to communicate with anyone. When we have to convey our message and ideas to people, we don't get to meet each person individually, personally. Then we have all these text messages, email messages, where we may not be able to express our thoughts and emotion perfectly using words. That's what usually causes miscommunication, misunderstandings. To some extent it is taken care of by using so many emotion icons, emoticons and other smileys and other things. But there is a gap, oftentimes, which can lead to misunderstandings. So usually when we choose our words, words are supposed to act like windows and doors that can give a clear picture of what thoughts are there in us. But when we choose the wrong words, they act like, instead of windows and doors, they act like walls, brick walls. So therefore, in the Gita, Krishna gives this guidelines. Anudvegakaram vakyam. Which means non-agitating words. Udvega is agitate. Anudvega, non-agitating vakyam. So when we speak agitating words, what is the effect? It creates emotional disturbances in the people who hear those words, in the people whom we direct those words. Emotional turmoil is there, and then it creates anger and depression and heartbreaks. And then that leads to heated arguments. It can even lead to big fights, big wars, if it is between two nations. And in such an environment, you can hardly find any proper solution. Therefore, anudvega, while speaking, we have to choose. Even if we have to speak the right thing, the message after conveyed, we need to make sure it is not going to agitate the hearer. Therefore, Krishna gives the other direction. Satyam. Satyam priyahitam chayat. So, oftentimes it is said, truth is not palatable. So, if we have to speak unpalatable truth, we need to make sure it is done pleasingly. That doesn't mean we suppress the real facts and figures and hide the truth or distort the truth, just to make sure it is pleasing to the hearer. The art is not to alienate the people who hear the message, but to convey the right message in the proper manner. So we need to be sensitive and at the same time truthful. Sensitive to make sure that people don't feel hurt, but without distorting the truth. That's the delicate balance we need to achieve. So how can we do this? One way is we can pause and pray to Krishna to give us the right words so that the message is conveyed. Ultimately, Krishna is the controller. Everything is going to happen according to His plan. But when we pause and think, that allows us to choose the right words, and in this way make sure the damage is minimum. So in the 16th chapter also we find Krishna talks about dambho darpo vimanascha krodha parushyam evacha. Parushyam is harshness. This is one of the symptoms of a demonic person. Harsh speech, rude speech are characteristic of demonic people. So harsh speech can break hearts, destroy all relationships. One wrong word, wrong sentence spoken at the wrong time can destroy all relationships. And they are like, as Krishna says here, they are like sharp arrows. Once you release them, you can't take them back. Like Ashwatthama released that Brahmastra and he didn't know how to withdraw the arrow back. So we don't want to be in those kind of situations. Therefore, Krishna says, Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. When we regularly recite Vedic literature's divine sound vibrations. That helps us to regulate our speech. So constantly reciting Vedic literatures, prayers and other songs maybe. This is Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. So when we are in a provocative situation, we are provoked by someone. This practice of constant recitation helps us to moderate our speech and make sure the damage is minimum. So if at all we have to give, say for example, feedback to someone, corrective feedback. So the truth has to be told and the message has to be conveyed. So usually when we are in that agitating situation, we speak out. And that's what causes damage. But delaying that feedback can oftentimes help reduce the damage. So instead of immediately giving a corrective statement, we pause and wait for an opportune time, the right time, maybe a few minutes later, a few hours later, a few days later. Then everything is cooled down, settled down. When we give the same feedback, same truth, if we have to tell, then the other person is in a much better frame of mind to receive and appreciate the feedback and make the necessary corrections. How a person is going to respond to the feedback is not in our hands. But at least we can, to a large extent, we have control on how the person is going to respond by making sure we give the right feedback at the in the proper manner. We can't always blame the other person saying, oh, he doesn't know how to receive feedback. That's his problem. And my job is to convey the message. I have so many other more important things to do. If he can't take the feedback, that's his problem. But it's not exactly always his problem. If constantly we are giving feedbacks and people are leaving the institution, leaving the service or leaving the organization, then probably the way we are giving feedback is the problem. It is not easy to get people, train them and make them expert in a particular area of work. And if our one reckless, insensitive feedback is going to drive them away, then that's a big loss for the organization, institution. So therefore we need to be careful. In the 16th chapter we find this word. Krishna talks about apaishunam, tyaga shantir apaishunam. Apaishunam means aversion to fault finding. So, giving a feedback is like fault finding. You have to point out the faults of the other person, give corrective feedback. So we may think it is fault finding. And oftentimes, it can lead to fault finding. If you are habituated, if you enjoy and take delight in giving feedbacks to others, that means probably we are enjoying or taking part in fault finding. As long as we don't relish giving feedback and we do it in a more sensitive, compassionate mood, then it is healthy. But Krishna here says, apaishunam is aversion to fault finding. Not a ban on fault finding. So if at all we have to give corrections to others, then it should be done with great reluctance and as a duty. So in the Bhagavatam we find how Duryodhan was harsh in his speech towards Vidura. When Vidura came and he wanted to avoid the war, and he told Duryodhan that you are told Dhritarashtra that your son is the cause of all problems. Son is the one who is causing this war. And when Duryodhan heard that, he got angry and he spoke harsh words to Vidura and drove him away. Now Vidura took it positively. He thought this is the best way to get closer to Krishna, go on a pilgrimage, meet great souls, visit holy dhams. But that speech is described as harsh. And Vidura felt hurt by that words. Even in the description of the fight between Varahadev and Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha is abusing Varahadev. What kind of wretched animal are you? An animal of dirt. And it is said, Varahadev felt hurt, right? He felt pain on hearing those words. So if Krishna can feel pain, then any living entity is going to feel pain by our harsh speech. So therefore, speech is an austerity, as Krishna says. We need to strive, work hard to cultivate the way to speak properly. Because any provoking situation, in any provoking situation, it is natural for anyone who has not practiced their art to speak out anything whimsically. Someone who is able to speak politely, sensibly, is considered wise. In this book, Vaisheshika Prabhu talks about how one transcendental words. So here we are talking about harsh speech, but how words spoken with great thought, composed nicely, can create revolutions in society. There is a chapter called The Pen is Mightier Than the Sword. There he describes how Prabhupada's books can create a revolution in the society. So he talks about his own experience, where he first composed a written speech, a written statement. When he was a child, he came back home from school and he wanted to go and meet his friend, Lance. So there was no one at home and he wanted to drop a message for his mother. But mother was not at home. So he wrote a letter. Not a letter, one small piece of paper. I at Lance. Three-worded sentence. And he kept that piece of paper somewhere on the table and then went. So his mother came back and saw that paper. I at Lance. And she was so overjoyed. When he came back, Vaisheshika Prabhu came back home, she welcomed him like a war hero, saying, what a superb message you have composed. So that's when he realized the impact of the written word it can have on people. Then he talks about how books that are written nicely can create revolutions. To be sure, he says, writing is a gift unique to humanity. Animals can scratch and bite, scream or roar, but they can't write. And humans are singularly equipped not only to write, but also to appreciate and glorify each other's well-executed writing. When people use their wits to compose superb prose, their words bring readers to deeper levels of understanding, and civilized people everywhere applaud such writers' contributions to the world's betterment. The inscription above the entrance of the Brooklyn Public Library says, farther than arrow, higher than the wings, fly poet's song and prophet's words. Talking about arrows here. History also shows that a few well-chosen words, printed and distributed, can touch people's hearts, spark them to form movements, and even galvanize them to topple armies and empires. In this regard, the playwright Edward Bulwer wrote these immortal words, the pen is mightier than the sword. This is how the phrase came up. So in this way, he goes on describing the glories of Prabhupada books, because it is said people are hungry for ideas, good thoughts and good ideas. And whenever they find such good ideas, they will consume it. Either through books or through internet or any messages, through television, videos. So when good ideas are transmitted, there is always a good market. And he says Prabhupada's books convey the best ideas, transcendental ideas, ideas about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotion service. There is nothing better than these ideas. And we have to distribute it. And eager people, intelligent people will accept them and appreciate them, receive them. So he says about printing, how printing machine was invented in the late, in the year 1440. Till then everything was handwritten, palm leaves and tree barks. So technology, even in India, it reached quite late. Just Rupa Goswami started writing books just 10 years before Rupa Goswami started writing, technology had arrived in India. It is said Rupa Goswami used to write books on palm leaves using some etch, and then it would dry up in the sun, it would turn white, and after some time it would turn black, and the whole other things would have a brighter background, and this would dark foreground would remain. That's how Mahaprabhu also saw those palm leaves and appreciated Rupa Goswami's handwriting. So that's how these Goswamis composed literatures, and if anyone had wanted a copy, they would hand again write it down through hand, using hands, personally. That's how copies were distributed. But when printing press came, mass distribution of literature started, Christians started distributing Bibles. Within few weeks, Bibles were distributed from America, sent from America to Europe. Protestant movement started. All these revolutions started happening just by the invention of printing press. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also said, printing press is like Brihat Mridanga, bigger Mridanga, that can, whose sounds can be heard much farther, several miles away, thousands of miles away. So, Vidyate Hrudaya Granthis Chidyante Sarva Samshaya. These words, transcendental words, can cut off people's knots of illusion. All anarthas can be removed, washed away. Krishna also says in the Gita, Hrutstham Jnanasin Atmanah. I can cut off the spiritual, the devotional vibrations are like sharp weapons that can cut off all knots of illusion. Therefore, we need to take extra efforts to make sure to distribute these literatures as much as possible and allow people to come out of their darkness of illusion. He gives one nice story about one person, the glories of Prabhupada's book distribution. He describes the story of one person who received Prabhupada books. So one devotee in America was going home to home, shop to shop, and distributing these books. So he met one person on the road. His name was Hector. And so this Hector didn't like the Hare Krishnas much. But he said he will try the book. So he took the book and he said, you have to write your autograph. So this devotee wrote, to Hector from Mitra. His name was Mitra. And he said, how much should I pay? He said, any amount you wish to pay. So he paid $2. $2 was very less. It was much costlier than that much amount. So he thought he got a nice bargain and he left. And this devotee didn't mind. He continued his distribution. In the evening, he came back to the temple. So what had happened was, this Hector, he didn't take the book. He left the book in some shop on the window. And another Hector came there. He saw this book lying on the window and he was wondering, who left this book? He opened the book and he saw, to Hector from Mitra. And he said, This is a miracle. So he saw the book, saw the phone numbers of the temple. He called up the phone temple. Said, who is Mitra? I want to meet him. So he said, yeah, you come in the evening, you will meet him. So he got the book, came home, came to the temple, met the devotees, and he got many more books. He became a devotee. Probably he became a devotee. We don't know the later future history. But that's how. So this devotee is saying how we were so used to so many miracles happening every day. Miracles are so common that we didn't take every miracle seriously. So once you are distributing books and the Prabhupada's movement, these are all everyday happenings. So in this chapter, this is about harsh speech. The chapter overall talks about how we should develop tolerance. Like Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, the greatness of a person is estimated by the ability to tolerate provoking situations. So Avanti Brahman here proves his greatness by tolerating the most insulting words, most provocative situations. So in today's times we find people talk about tolerance. For example, if there is some religious, if you find some religious intolerance, if say for example some two communities coming together and clashing over some issue, and then others advise, be tolerant, be tolerant. So it is said, if we are ignorant of something, the religious values, religious principles, then it is easy to say, be tolerant. Just don't fight, don't argue, just tolerate. But someone who is practicing religion, bona fide religion, upholding certain principles, for such a person, when religious principles are violated, he has to react to uphold the principles. Then these so-called secular people who preach tolerance, they accuse these people about intolerance. Say for example, there is animal slaughter or what else? Abortion. Say someone, some religious person who is upholding these principles of non-violence talks about, speaks against these activities. Such a person is labeled as intolerant by people who have no idea of what is right and what is wrong. So when someone talks about tolerance, they may not be necessarily tolerant. It could be because of lack of awareness of proper religious principles. So therefore, this distinction needs to be clearly made. So when we talk about, we have Siddhanta, we have Sadhana, we have Sadachar, right? We have Krishna conscious Siddhanta, Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, highest rasa theology, tattva and all kinds of lofty principles. And we may speak and preach about these principles. And we have our sadhana also, chanting and four regulative principles. But the outside people are going to judge us by our, not by our siddhanta or sadhana, but by our sadachar. So if our sadachar is not proper, and we may have the highest siddhanta and sadhana also, that cannot convince anyone about accepting these principles. Therefore sadachar, therefore Prabhupada said, my disciples are going to be the best of gentlemen. Which means sadachar. Siddhanta cannot convert any, or siddhanta cannot make anyone a devotee. Sadhana also may not make anyone a devotee. But sadachar is the easiest way to convince someone to accept the path of Krishna consciousness. So, I think I'll stop here because the story is going to come and we will be seeing much more about tolerance and mind control. So if anyone has any comment or questions, you can take one or we'll stop here. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.